Blog Talk Radio.
Con los terroristas.
Every week I get you. Every week. You right there that spill the coffee on you. Every week.
Every week. Oh, that's not very nice.
I'm sorry about your tie there, dude. I'm sorry. You with the cute little pink skirt on. I'm really sorry. You should put a top on that coffee.
He does.
You should put a top on that coffee. That's what you do. Oh. Okay, by the way, I've been going so fast. This is why I need some form of telepathy so that I can talk to people while I do stuff. Because in my head, I've been having a conversation with Ginger for the last 10 minutes.
See, you totally
burned. I wasn't saying anything. But apparently in my head, it was a whole exchange. So, Ginger, I need a pose for a purse. Not that one you gave me. I need one for on the arm, you know, where you hold it like you're cute, you know, it's on your wrist.
Yeah, something like that.
I've been looking for one since last night because I finished my bags. They're so gorgeous, but they can't be held any other way but on the arm. Bam.
I will have to check into that. I think I might.
I've been to three different stores. I saw one from this other little place, which I got to tell you about because they're trying to compete with you. You just don't know they are.
Trying to compete with me?
Yes. About after the show, remind me. I found them on the store, but I'd rather get one from you than from them. But yeah, so yeah, you know I'm all about some competition. So they got to go down. They got to go.
They can try. It ain't gonna get them nowhere.
I do some espionage. I'll buy it and then raid ahead. This show sucks. I'd rather get mine from Ginger.
Alright.
I'm all.
Ginger's is made of love.
Ginger's is better than yours.
And ponage.
Say ponage or ponies, because both is good.
Ponage.
Man.
No ponies.
I don't do horses. I know y'all think we're in Texas and it's horses, but yeah, I've rode one time. I was like, this is not for me.
I've been there, done that. It's not really my thing.
Mm-mm. I love to talk to them. I do go like to the police horses. I love to go talk to them because they seem to be smarter than other horses. Anybody notice that? Police horses are really smart.
They are incredibly smart, yeah.
And I'll go up to them and talk to them. If you don't believe me, find your police horse one day. First, you have to ask, can you come up? Because they are officers, just like the person that's riding them. And you have to ask, you know, both of them, can you come up? And then you ask them how you're doing. Usually they can respond. I'm like, are you doing okay? And they'll nod. It, like, freaks me out. Oh, you understand human speak. I don't speak horse.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Oh, good Lord. All right. Hey, hello, follower people who just, like, jumped on follow me on Twitter. What's up?
They're stalking you for the
win. Stalk me harder.
You know what?
What? I didn't do anything.
You know what? You know what? I did tell them to find Google us and to bring us donuts via Twitter about 15 minutes ago. So maybe, just maybe, they bringing us donuts.
Oh, for that? Oh, God. Woman?
Hey, you started it yesterday with the chocolate. I'm just, you know.
Oh, that chocolate. Where is that? I have that.
You have chocolate?
No. Oh, God, no, I wish.
You bookmarked the picture of the chocolate.
Yes. There we go.
Think about
chocolate.
It. Interesting experiment. And no, I haven't forgotten you guys' simulator story. Frankie was having issues day before yesterday. I lost my story. I was working on the post-up. But the simulators?
Uh-huh.
Good, and I got to try to recreate it. That's also a conversation I've been having in my head the past 2 hours, trying to recreate that story. It was so good.
That was so good. It was so good. Nah.
Frankie had a virus. She's clean now. She's like
Poor
a...
Frankie, why are you so mean to Frankie?
It wasn't me. Baby,
looking
for software. She did it this time. Wasn't me. Totally wasn't me this time. yeah, don't let Baby Natrix loose on the internet sometimes. She finds stuff, and it's not stuff you're supposed to have. It's not even good illegal stuff. It's just like, oh, look at this. And then I was like, no, don't download. It's too late. It's gone. It's already on your computer.
Oh, no. Oh, no. See? No.
Are you ready?
I had somebody do that to one of my computers once. He now knows not to lay a finger on my butterfinger. My computer.
Yeah. I had to do
all
that.
Right, so
lock somebody out of the computer. I gotta do mine first. I gotta.
Cause okay.
Give it to him.
Pasta.
I gotta do mine first.
Pasta.
All right. Remember we've been telling you about the lovely new gadget that is Google Glass. Everybody wants it. Everybody's like, oh God, I must have it. Well, they left out a key feature there. Since it's going to be a cell phone and do all this amazing stuff, there was no screen lock. I know some of you are saying screen lock. Yes, you know, like your cell phone locks. Uh-huh. Yeah. This left the door open for developer Mike DiGiovanni to create one that he calls Bulletproof, which I think is a hot name. Very nice. Whenever Glass detects that it's been removed from your face, the app presents a screen that can be unlocked with your own combination of gestures on Glass's touchpad. It's not groundbreaking, but it's a necessity for a $1,500,000 computer that you wear on your face, people.
No kidding. That should be. Sorry.
Ooh, you caught yourself just
barely in
time.
Too early in the morning. Yeah, that would totally be locked down because I'd hate to have to stab one of y'all in the face.
Yes, for grandma.
Yes. $100 computer.
$1,500. Now, without Bulletproof, according to VentureBeat, anybody can grab your Glass unit and send whatever images and messages they want to your friends and the Google Plus page. The question they say, of course, however, is how the heck did Google Glass release a next-gen device without any basic security protection? Come on now.
This is Google. Come on, Google.
You all are supposed to you have it covered. This is a big one to not have covered. We're not talking about a miscalculation on a Google Map, Apple. But
not make me lose faith in you. No.
We were looking forward to the Fios to work with our Google Glass. Of course, Devendra. Hi, Devendra. I like your new haircut. He says Glass is even more vulnerable to theft than your smartphone, since it's typically resting on your face unattached instead of hidden in your pocket or purse. So somebody could just run by you and snatch it and go. And nobody will be thinking that the person running stole anything from you because they're holding a pair of glasses. It's going to take a while before people, you know, get to say, okay, they're holding a pair of glasses. I probably need to tackle them to the ground. They'll be like, why are you screaming? It's just glasses. Glass also cannot be folded down like a typical pair of glasses, so they're going to need to change that. So you can't fold it down and put it in your purse or anything like that. You can't hang it from your shirt or put it on your head, which is if you try to snatch a pair of glasses from a girl's head, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. They're saying it's a very big target so far. If you're watching there on the video, Ginger has up. Yeah, beautiful. Wait a minute. Why am I not seeing anything?
Why are you not? Oh, because I had to take it down because it was only like a 10-second video.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's that. I mean, it was
Thanks
so
a lot.
Short. I played it like 3 times and I was like, all right. Because I had to keep hitting repeat like every 2 seconds.
Well, apparently people are asking Google about it and they've not said anything. So this guy here, Mike, is going to be rich, at least for a short time, until somebody creates something better. It'll be, they'll use gestures, your voice, your thumbprint, or something like that, which would be just as awesome. I think a retinal scan would work. Your retina is just as unique as your thumbprint. If I could program well enough, I'd write that. So I'm throwing another idea out there for somebody that can program. Retinal scanning for Google Glass would be perfect.
I approve of this idea.
Bam. There you go. You put it on, and if anybody else puts it on, it just doesn't work because it scans and says, you are not on here. You were not added as a user. Sorry.
Oh, my God. That would be cool. You know, and that's something I hadn't even thought about was sharing this with people. So
I ain't sharing mine with nobody. There's stuff that go on your face, and people tend to touch their face more than any other part of their body except for the other part down there. So between those two places, I don't really my $1,500 computer, no. And if I do put it up to you, I'll be holding up to you going, here, you're going to have to look from here. See? Look, can you see it? Yes. From there. No, I'm not putting it on you.
That is very true. I hadn't even thought about it that way. I guess the way I thought about it, like I mentioned yesterday, the day before, I can't remember now, that I hope, oh please, come on. When y'all come out with Google Glass, let us put prescription glasses in it.
Well,
I'd like to
Here's the thing, though, Jen.
I can't afford to have my eyes fixed and wear them.
Well, no. You know what? Looking at the newest prototype, you won't need. You can wear glasses underneath. It'd be doubled up. But and maybe somebody will think of a way to put them both. And maybe it'll be an attachment you can put on your regular glasses. I don't know. Again, there's something you could come up with. There you go, Ginger. There's an idea.
Yay!
Prescriptions for Google Glass. Mm-hmm.
Cool. I like that. Seriously, because I don't want to double up. That's just not my kind of thing. And two, I can't afford to fix my eyes and wear your glasses. So
you can't do. You know, LASIK, they take payments now.
That's true. But no.
If they take payments now, they won't take payments on that Google Glass. That's why you all need to be real careful. You can pay every month on your LASIK surgery, but once they snatch those glasses and they're gone, and if you can't chase them down, and I'm going to tell you now, I'm not going to have to chase them down because I'm going to start throwing stuff. Just pick them off.
Nice.
And if I throw it with my left hand, you are a dead man because I can hit anything with my left hand. I don't know how. It feels wrong when I throw, but I hit it dead on every time. You're going down straight to the head. Bam! They're like, ma'am, it's just a pair of glasses. That's Google Glass. That's not just a pair of glasses. That's Google. That's $1,500 right there. I mean, I say that because then they'll try to mug me, too.
True. All right. So, Zach Zero, now available on Steam.
So, like, sound effects.
Yeah. Crocodile Entertainment is pleased to announce the global release of its award-winning video game, Zach Zero, on Steam, the leading digital distribution platform for PC games. The award-winning action platform game is now available for only $7.49, a special release with a 25% discount on the official price of $9.99. The new and improved PC version includes HD graphics, enhanced textures and effects, new animations, new levels, and improved player experience. You can download Zach over on the Steam store right now. New animations, better control. The new animation system that controls Zach is much more dynamic and enables new actions such as rolling on the floor to avoid bumps, faster attacks, easier jumps, greater general detail, and more interaction with the environment. We also got some new content, new areas in each level, and innovative system of objectives that encourages the player throughout the adventure to help improve the gaming experience. Yay! So again, this is $7.49 right now. It's going to be going back up to $9.99 in a short bit. So if you want to get this, grab it now while it's cheap, folks. Cheap. Hey, Corey's up.
Yeah, that's because I'm talking to myself. All right. There's a whole bunch of developers and people that are saying some really bad things about the gaming industry. I'm going to say you're fired, and we'll talk about that Thursday night. Okay, so I got kind of two things coming here. I'll talk about this one really quick. One of the people that's talking smack is, of course, Satoru Iwata. Yes, he says people are tired of the same old. Well, you can't really say that because you keep making Mario Kart. Not that I'm mad at you. If you're making money off of it, do it. But, yeah, you don't want to say that. Not you of all people. He says it isn't just cheap, accessible mobile games that are making it difficult to sell the $60 console titles. According to Gamasutra, he says he believes Nintendo. He says it's an overly saturated market as well. And he answered questions from investors last week following Nintendo's annual financial results, and he admitted that he believes part of the reason that Nintendo Wii U isn't selling as well as they hoped is because Nintendo's games and those other console developers aren't wowing customers like they used to. No duh. Because we try to offer various kinds of software for a video game platform, and the games are improving steadily each year, but these improvements are becoming less noticeable. He says, in short, with what one platform can offer will eventually become saturated. Every consumer will inevitably become tired of and get less excitement from the same type of entertainment. He says it's become difficult to impress players, he adds, even with the greater amount of energy that's put into development now than past. So the development challenges for home console games selling for around $50 to $60 have increased significantly. He says around the time when he first wrote a program for a home console game 30 years ago, two developers, including himself, completed it in only 3 months. things have changed dramatically since then, and we therefore need to expand the range of software developers. According to Iwata, these challenges lead to psychological hurdles for players, where they expect to pay a lower sum for their software. And I do, because your games are not giving me what I want. I should be paying lower. Sorry. He says lowering software prices and a rise in the number of devices you can play games on without a dedicated gaming machine are gradually setting the bar higher for us to encourage our consumers to pay a certain sum of money for software. And then he added, I believe the future of video games, the video games industry depends on the number of games developers release that consumers consider to be fresh and worth paying for. You have spoken the truth, and it's an obvious truth, Iwata. We've been saying that for the many, many moons here. You all need to get it together. We're tired of playing the same game. At least some of us are. Some of you intend to play Call of Duty until your fingers fall off. I am not. I don't want Call of Duty or Battlefield or any of those. Battlefield 8. I don't care. Did you tweet me? You text me?
Yes. And are you running some heavy machinery back there?
No, somebody is outside cutting up something. I was amused to watch, you know, somebody was cutting things.
Very nice. So I was like, am I hearing a chainsaw?
You are hearing a chainsaw. All I need now is a lollipop.
lollipop, ooh, la-la-la-la-la. No, don't do it.
Okay, I got the second one.
All right, well, you do your second one, and then I'm going to do mine. Yeah.
I do believe I have lost my way with the second one. I had some juice, too. It was juice. I was like, oh, my God, I got to share this one. Oh, where did you go there, little story? I'll be a son of a biscuit eater.
Biscuit eaters!
Go ahead, Ginger, because I have lost my story. I scrolled, and I should never, ever scroll.
Speaking of biscuit eaters. Hacking group claims it has cracked Wii U copy protection.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, a hacking group is claiming that it has managed to circumvent the copy protection on Nintendo's Wii U. Nintendo is not commenting on the story publicly. According to the group, who seems to have no formal group name, they were able to bypass the Wii U's copy protection and played pirated games via USB media. The team claims that it has completely reversed the Wii U drive authentication, disk encryption, file system, and everything else needed for this next generation key. They're calling their device an optical drive emulator and that it is compatible with all current Wii U models from all regions, uses an embedded Linux system, and does not require soldering. Wow. Nintendo has not commented on the story publicly. Oh, wait. Yes, they have. Nintendo's spokesperson told Eurogamer that it's aware of the hacking group's claim, but it's had no reports of illegal Wii U games nor unauthorized applications playable on the system while in Wii U mode. I don't know. I don't really know what this means, so...
Why are you hacking the Wii U? Some of you don't like it, and you're...
I don't know. I'm going to say because they got nothing better to do.
Hmm. All right, our fellow journalists, video game websites, bloggers, you might want to pay attention to this next story. It seems Twitter is a little shaken up about a recent rash of major media account hacks. The company sent out a letter to publications saying it expects more hacks and provides tips on how to keep your Twitter account safe. According to VentureBeat, in April, hackers broke into and tweeted from the Twitter account of CBS, NPR, and the Associated Press. The hackers posted messages that accused the U.S. government of being in bed with terrorists, and in the Associated Press case, faked an explosion at the White House. I didn't see this, so they didn't do such a good job. The one bogus AP tweet caused Dow Jones Industrial Average to drop 1% almost immediately, highlighting just how much people trust Twitter as a breaking news source. Why? Do you not understand Twitter runs off of people? You're supposed to – anyway. Undoubtedly, this puts a lot of pressure on Twitter, and it's trying to make some public make sure some publications know that this is a problem that isn't going away just yet. They say, we believe that these attacks will continue and that the news and media organizations will continue to be high-value targets to hackers, said the memo, which was posted by BuzzFeed, a group calling themselves the Syrian Electronic Army, a pro-regime hacking collective, took credit for the hacks, though they are far from the only people trying to get attention but through these means. The hackers, according to Twitter, are mostly able to get access through phishing attempts alone. These are tricks that hackers
use to get...
these are tricks that hackers use to get regular people to simply give up their login information. Twitter urges companies not to share their passwords in email or over the internet and to limit the amount of people who have access to the account. It also seems to be grasping at straws, telling publications to designate one computer from which people tweet. Those who tweet from this computer, however, should not access the Internet in other ways, such as for email, lest they expose themselves to malware. Seems a little outlandish for the pace of breaking news today. Hold on, guys. Just filed my story. Need to ask Jimmy down at the copy desk to tweet it out next time he's on the Twitter laptop.
Yeah.
The company also asked publications to use two-factor authentication on their email addresses and to otherwise use strong passwords. Twitter specifically called out LastPass and 1Password as good methods of storing individual passwords for all your accounts, since often a good password for every site you use is hard to remember. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to tell you, Twitter, how stupid that is, that idea is. Do you know the person that gave me the best idea about keeping your password safe was a woman who is not techie at all? She happened to be in the Hallmark store and saw that Hallmark now sells a book for you to write passwords in. Books that are on your desk and not connected to the Internet are the only way you can keep your passwords from being hacked. You don't tell people to store their passwords online. Somewhere else can be hacked. That is idiotic. People, if you don't want to get the Hallmark book, she said she wanted something pretty because, you know, she likes pretty little frilly things. If you don't want to do that, a simple notebook that you buy from the store, they're 35 cents for the little composition notebooks, and you don't have to label it as passwords. You put it on your desk or you mix it in with the books on your bookshelf or some other stack of stuff, and that's where you keep your passwords. And when you are ready to change it out, you scratch it out and you put a new one in. Guess what? Hackers have to come in your house to get to that. And most of them are not into the B&E. They just want your stuff to be in one place. Ridiculous thing, advice Twitter is giving out. I cannot get behind that. LastPass and LastPass and 1Pass. Yes, use a password generator online, and if you're really paranoid, go to 6 or 7 different sites and generate passwords, write them all down, then pick one, scratch the rest out. But if you're worried that somebody's following you or watching, they still got to figure out which one of those you use. But this
fireproof box.
Yeah.
You write them down, you put them inside your fireproof box, you lock it.
Yes. And I'm going to put this on your website, Twitter. Do not use a password-saving service.
So many people are just, I don't know. All right, so where's one? There we go. All right, I got to show this to y'all because, oh, my God, this is so awesome. Let me get it going. Press play.
Just press play. AMC's Breaking Bad as a Lego video game?
A video showing that a Lego video game version of AMC's hit series about making meth, Breaking Bad, might look like. So it's just a parody, folks. The video was created by animator Brian Anderson and mixes the popular show's plot and characters with the humor of a Lego video game with amusing results. On his YouTube page for the video, he offers a disclaimer. I have no affiliation with Traveler's Tales, Lego, or AMC. I'm just a huge fan of the stuff they make. But seriously, if they all got together and made this game for real, I'd buy it and play the crap out of it. I would too.
Have you ever seen the show?
Yes, I have.
I only got to watch one episode, and I was drawn in, so I got to back up and go from the beginning.
I have to say, the first episode I watched, I was not about.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me when I started watching the first one, but I caught, they were doing a season flashback because I think it's getting ready to come back on. Mm-hmm. And I caught the episode, and I was like, oh, this is good. I don't even know what's going on, but, oh, I want to watch this.
Yes. Mm. I think this is awesome. They say one thing you won't see in the video is Walter White and Jesse Pinkman actually cooking meth in the trailer because Anderson was afraid that such a scene would lead to the video getting pulled from YouTube.
Yeah.
Probably right. But still, this is amazing. I like, and look, he even made the Lego folks look like
they're people.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love it. I think it's awesome.
I would play
the hell out of this.
Well, you know, they're not going to do it because it's Lego.
That's true. Lego's supposed to be kids and all that, but
yeah, it's still widely a kids thing, so you won't be seeing that one, but it would be nice if they would venture into some newer territory, I dare say.
Yeah.
All right. I got one for you.
I would mind having some adult Legos. Man, I'm sitting here watching the...
I want to play.
I do. Oh, my God. You know what? Hold on. I have to subscribe, and I have to like this. Okay. There we go. Now. Pest and go.
What happened to Copy Pass? pasta. I'm not mad.
Copy pasta. We okay, like I already had this up on another screen. Hey, there we go. All right, it's going.
What, you got Agent Dash ready to go?
This is ready to go.
Well, it's going to be up on the site here in just a moment, too. Android.
Yay!
And I have this on my phone. I absolutely adore this game, and this is one of those that's going into our, oh, my God, so addicted when I can stop playing it. Yeah. All right, so, but you Android and Kindle players looking for speed, gadget, adrenaline, and fun, it's time to don your tuxedo and join the most exciting ride on mobile. Full Fat's acclaimed Endless Runner has just landed on the Amazon App Store. And your mission, if you should choose to accept it, is to destroy as many villainous bases as you can.
Yay!
You can use your spy skills to evade every hazard the evil megalomaniacs can throw at you, hone your skills, and sharpen your reactions to take the perfect run and become the top agent. And there's a new update for it on the iOS system there. Yay for you people that have iPhones.
Awesome.
Yep, alongside this, they also announced a new game update on the iPhone, iPod, Touch, and iPad. They said you can add 3 microfilm films as pickup, more level variety, all this good stuff. And if you're not sure how to play, I don't know how these games never caught on with the Twitch gamers, honestly. Because it's very fast-paced. This is Twitch gaming. If you you want something quick-paced and keeps you interested, you can't sit down and play this at the DMV because I'm telling you, you'll start screaming and then they'll arrest you. But yeah, very good game. You can check this out. I love this. This is one of there's another one that's very similar to it. It's called Temple Run. But I think this one's a little harder to me than Temple Run. If you haven't tried Temple Run, it's a little harder. Because of some of the things in there you don't have to do in Temple Run. Have you played Temple Run yet either?
No, I haven't. I'm about to drop you a link of something that's amazing. There you go. I would share it in the room, but it really has nothing to do with gaming. It's just amazing.
Why are you trying to get me hooked on stuff that's amazing?
Because this specifically is.
Ah! Okay, I got. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, girl.
I had to do it because, I sent it through Facebook while we're doing the show looking for new news, whatnot, and yeah.
I know who's going to get a kick out of that. Let me go ahead and drop it to her. Exactly who to give that to. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was great. Okay. So, there we go. Talk about Minecraft. Minecraft soon to be available on disc through retail for the first time since its launch back in 2009. Minecraft says we're excited to announce the multi-record-breaking phenomenon. Minecraft will soon be able to buy. Will soon be available. There we go. Be available to buy in store on disc across the UK exclusively for the Xbox 360. From the 28th of June, fans can experience the joy of Minecraft Xbox 360 edition straight from disc and get a taste of Xbox Live Gold using an included 48-hour subscription. Once connected to Xbox Live, everyone can get their very latest Everyone can get their very latest Minecraft Xbox 360 edition content from the ever-changing pixelated world, as well as experience the many other things Live has to offer, such as taking favorite games online with friends or watching the latest TV and movies. The disc version will provide the magic and experience already loved by millions worldwide and give newcomers the thrill to explore, build, and conquer alone or play with friends via split-screen mode, ooh, boo, or over Xbox One, including a wealth of new features designed specifically for the Xbox 360. Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition is a whole new way to make imagination a blocktastic reality. Yay! I love me some Minecraft. Love me some Minecraft.
It's yeah, I know. You are addicted again.
I'm going to take a video of what we've been doing recently and talk about it. So.
I'm concerned about your well-being. Yeah. No, that's how I said. I'm concerned about your well-being.
A little video about why you should come back and play Minecraft again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or never play it yet.
You must play. It's amazing.
I can't do it, man. It doesn't pull me in. Some of them don't pull me in. Some of the fads just don't get me. I try to sit there with Baby Natrix, and she's explaining, and she's excited. And I understand what she's talking about because as a gamer, most games are similar. But
change your mind.
I have no desire. I just don't. I don't know. It's the pixelated thing. You know what I think it is? I saw that way for so many years. That's why I'm like, I don't need to be looking at this. I had enough of pixelation. Before I got my eyes done. That's exactly how everything looked to me. Pixelated. No, I think I'm going to stay with the clear for a while now.
Yeah.
All right. New game.
I packs, and then it's all pretty again.
No, no, no.
I'll tell you.
Independent game development team, Quibit Games in Taiwan, announced that they would be integrating... Did you get it?
Quibit?
You could say Quibit or Qubit, however you want to say it. But they're going to be integrating 3D printing service into their upcoming iOS game, Space Cube. The Space Cube is a voxel-based retro shooting game that lets you, the player, create your own voxel spacecraft.
A Minecraft shooter game.
Mm-hmm. The game is composed... Speaking of Minecraft, see how I segue? The game is composed of two parts. One part is the game, and another part is a voxel creation kit. Okay, this may pull me in. The game allows... the game part allows the player to control the spaceship or anything the player created to shoot as many aliens as you can to get the highest scores and rewards. You can then move the ship by tilting your iPad or iPhone, and hopefully they get to Joy soon. And
I have to say, did anybody notice the other things that they probably shouldn't have just been showing just then? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, was there something in there I missed?
Well, you can make your own avatars, whatnot. You know, your own... Mm. They were talking about design, and then I saw a whole bunch of stuff that looked suspiciously like Angry Birds.
Well, I guess you could, as long as it's not actually Angry Birds. Okay, and now their kit comes with a model editor and a browser. The voxel model editor allows you, the player, to create 16 by 16 or 32 by 32 size model on an iPad or a 16 by 16 model size on iPhone, iPod using a layered creation tool. The players can use the browser to browse the voxel models uploaded by other players, download and rate the voxel models, then modify them or use them to play the game. And eventually we know this is going to come down to selling. You know what? I have the editor demo, too, if you want to run that, too, while I'm talking about this one. Hang on. Let me grab it and she can throw it up. You can see how they do this here because it kind of looks kind of interesting. So Space Cube's creator, Owen Wu and Louis Liu, you guys should have just named, you should have named your company Qubit. It should be Wu and Liu. I'm sorry. That would be so cool. Wu and Liu would have been... they said by integrating the 3D printing service into the game, the users will be able to create any model they want and then send the file to the 3D printing company with just one click. The 3D model can be printed in different size and be shipped directly to you at your house. The company will also start selling some of their 3D printed models online. Qubit Games chooses Belgium 3D printing company i.Materialize. I like that name as its first partner. More will be added in the future. The cost of printing of the 3D printing service will vary depending on the size of the model and its complexity. For example, a 7-centimeter figure will cost about $20 plus shipping, which is not bad for something you made yourself. Wait a minute. Okay, they also have some pictures. I'm hoping there's some in there. Okay, I can't grab these screenshots for you. There's some pictures of how you can actually get pretty detailed with these 3D models, and they look so cute. They do look, man, I think Minecraft missed out on this one. They should have done this, too.
Yeah, totally. Okay. There are definitely some of my creations that I would pay to have in a 3D model.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you can put this up. 3Ders.org is the name of this website that has the screenshots up. If you scroll down there to the bottom, you can see what they look like. You create it, and then what they send you, it's identical, and they look to be durable, but small, but you could create a whole, remember we were, if you missed Pixie, so last night we were covering decorating your house with geeky things, you could have a whole room with things that you made.
Oh, there we go. Ooh, look at that. Oh, that's kind of tiny.
Yeah, it's tiny, but, you know, keep in mind. Well, this is tiny. I guess you can make it bigger, but you have to pay more money. It's $20 for a 7-centimeter one. I'm guessing these are about 7 centimeters. But they say you can make a bigger one. So you could do, you know, huge.
That's true. These are so cute. Look at them.
I have a 2-foot-tall, somewhere around here, Guild Wars model that I'm going to put together. Going up in my room. Somewhere. I don't know where it's going in here in the Gamer Cave. But, yeah, it's going up. I've been holding on to that for some time. And no,
I'm going to be bookmarking this site because this is kind of, I might have some stuff I want them to be building me.
Oh, you thought iMaterialize?
Yeah.
Well, it's in Belgium, girl, to have it shipped. Jeez, the shipping is going to eat you up if you get it too big. You know what I mean?
That's true. Ooh.
But iMaterialize.
That is really cool looking, though.
I think it is lovely.
All right, more pixelated fun. That's right. Apparently today, folks, it's all about the pixelated fun. Press play. Just press play. Indie video game studio Worm Bites, Dragons and Titans Roars in open beta. Cross-platform multiplayer online battle arena, MOBA. opens for public feedback on Facebook in partnership with Zyniga. Wormbite, an indie video game studio created by...
Do worms bite is the question.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Why would you name yourself Wormbite? I'm just saying.
Today they announced the company's inaugural title, Dragons and Titans, is entering into open beta on Facebook. Dragons and Titans combines the ambiguity, thank you, of the web with the latest social features and unique gameplay. Like, I'm sitting here looking at it, I could not get it out. The latest social features and unique gameplay elements to create a new fast-paced MOBA experience. After successfully operating and testing in closed beta since late 2012, Wormbite is seeking the input of gamers worldwide to further refine and polish their breakout MOBA title for launching later this year. In the final stretch of putting together a next-generation social game, we believe there's no better way to achieve success than engaging directly with our players, says Brown, who is the creator, founder and president of Wormbite. We're eager for players to offer their unique input and touches to the game so that we have Dragons and Titans near perfect for the game's official launch later this year. Yay, to bring Dragons and Titans to as many people as possible. Wormbite is partnering with Zyniga, the world's leading provider of social game services and also the owner of the latest Titanic, to introduce Dragons and Titans to a broad swath of Facebook users looking for an action-packed multiplayer gaming experience. Yay! All right, so it is an open beta. They do not say if you have to pay to play the open beta. It's on Facebook. Check it out. Dragons and Titans. Could be interesting. You know what? I wasn't sharing the screen the entire time. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
And I was talking to on mute.
Yay!
Don't you love when we do that?
Some days. It's Wednesday. You know what? We're tired from our Pixanista and our gaming, and it's Wednesday, and everybody's kind of meh. Look, it's so pretty.
Let me see.
It's so pretty.
What game is that?
This is Dragons and Titans.
No, I'm tired of Dragons and Titans.
Yeah, me too, a little bit, but it's still pretty.
It is very pretty. I will give him that. All right, I have to do this one, or I'm gonna have to cut Lieberman, who's listening. I'm gonna get a ping in a minute. Okay.
Lieberman listening.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to cut Lieberman. Before I do that, I just want to let y'all know what
I don't like you anyways.
Let me tell y'all what I just found on the App Store. By the way,
on the App Store.
Are you listening?
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait a minute. Oh, I gotta start it again. Okay, listen. Could you hear it?
Yes. What was that? I recognize that.
Oh, see, now I'm gonna have to do it again. All right, just for you people.
Is that Mario?
Nope, try it again. I can't believe you
don't know.
I just found that on the Droid App Store for free, people. Pac-Man Tournament.
Yay!
I'm like all excited.
We talked about that a while back, Pac-Man Tournament.
Yes, it is cool. I just found it. I just downloaded it. So happy. I'll be playing some Inky Blinky Clot later.
Happy, joy, happy,
happy, happy, joy, joy. And you can actually pause your game. You know, you used to didn't be able to do that. Didn't they used to piss you off when you're trying to play and you couldn't pause? Yeah. Okay, anyway, let me do about this next one. Cause, yeah,
Hello, Bear. I know, right, Jay? Hello, you're all. Hello, Jay.
Who said Petal Bear? Who's Petal Bear?
It was...
Somebody said definitely that wasn't Angry Bird. That was not Angry Birds, and it was not Petal Bear. Get running.
No, back during the that pixel game thing, the 3D printers, yeah, it was totally there.
Oh, it was Petal Bear? Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. All right, guns. Guns of Icarus. Yeah, I got to give Ginger the link so she...
Yay! We like Guns of Icarus.
We love us some Guns of Icarus. Yeah, see, Lieberman, we don't want to have to cut you, but we do love Guns of Icarus regardless. He's going to have a lot of smack to talk to me later, I'm pretty sure. They are pleased to announce they have another content. Yes, this is Lieberman. Yes, we have. He's rather sassy. He's a lot of fun. Not all PR people are fun, just so y'all know that we deal with, but he's one of the more fun ones.
So not the Lieberman I was thinking of. Never mind.
Well, we'll talk about that later. I want to know which Lieberman you're talking about. Okay, so anyway, they have a free content update to Guns of...
Anti-gaming?
No. No, that's another Joseph. Ooh, don't do that.
I know.
Ooh, you're going to get me. Let me get this out, woman. Let me get this out. Okay, so there's an update to Guns of Icarus. The update will include a new 2v2 King of the Hill. I want to see how they're going to do that. Map that's set in a burned-out shell of a once-great metropolis, scripted tutorials for new players, and a new commendation system to award players for their sportsmanship and their skill and tutoring, and a bunch of new costumes. Additionally, Guns continues to push for its first milestone stretch goal on Kickstarter, with 20 days remaining, which if you're watching, Ginger has it up on the page. Go over and check out their page. This game is awesome, so you need to make sure you give them some support. They have beginners-only matches, so if you're a newbie, you won't get owned all the time. This is for new players. There'll be beginner-only tier play and can only be entered by players at level 1. So once you get past level 1, they're going to kick you out. This can also be played with by community staff who have been approved for teaching their beloved newbies. So you go in and say, hey, I want to help out. Well, no, that's not how it works. Community staff, not us. They have some new costumes because you can never have too many hats. And I don't think we got to see the costumes. We got in there so early. We didn't get to see the costumes. We got to go back in to do the costumes. They've also added more particle effects for weapons, a new flare gun model, gun handles, and maybe a bird or two. If you're not familiar with Guns of Icarus Online, it is an airship combat game. You're in the air. Four players man a single ship, and you attempt to coordinate with your team to bring down the enemy ships. You are in the air, I must stress again. So, yes, you can fall off the ship, as I did many times. They have adventure mode, which expands on this format, creating a living world with a true player town and meta progression. Kickstarter backers will receive some amazing rewards for their support. And they have actually sent out their things. Remember we ran across the guy at RTX that had his stuff that he got from Gods of Icarus? So they are for real. We can actually vouch for them, including the return of, okay, Joe, you coming up off of these because we asked for one. The bullet USB, remember? Remember the bullet USB port, little jump drive that was shaped like a bullet? Gotta have it. And they were out. We want it. That should be on the page. Do they still have pictures of that? Scroll down.
I'm sorry. I keep getting...
Did you scroll down?
No, I was playing the video. I was looking at the hot developers.
Oh, they are. He's rather hot. I like his little pompadour, his little mini pomp at the top. See if they still have that bullet one on there, because we were going nuts about that. And he's like, nah, we're out. I want it, Lieberman. Calling you out on the show.
That'd have been hot.
Oh,
and that is such an unfortunate name resemblance, by the way.
Poor baby.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. There it is. I found it. Give it a second. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, yes. That's what we want right there. So, you guys, if you back them, you can get one of these. It's a bullet shaped USB port. That is the hottest of hot.
I'll let you touch Corey's fluffy cakes if you give me one.
If you give me one, I'll let you touch my fluffy cakes. Okay, they said this is a newer one than the other one. It's polished aluminum, and then they also still have the brass ones, and you can go and check them out. This is also made by Muse Games. Go to musegames.com. You can also check them out that way. And I believe it's up on Steam already. You can play on Steam now. Now go over and play. I'm telling you, this is a totally different experience gaming. What? What did you find? What is that, Ginger? I can't see from here.
Steampunk USB.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do lovely work over there.
I want
this is people who like, I got the collector's edition and they gave you some digital stuff. No, this is the stuff that you want, something you can hold in your hand that you can turn around. Times get rough, you ain't got no
chances. Thing, it's amazing. I want it.
You don't want to have to do it, but you
might. These will ever be made.
Yep, and that's
kidding me. Only one.
Look, like right now I'm going to post on Facebook one thing that I got as a collector's edition. Of course, a sweetie bought this for me, and we are never, ever, ever getting back together, but I'm keeping this beauty. I have a Sims. Some of you have this, some don't. I'm posting this on Facebook while we're doing the show. A Sims Jump Drive Plumb Bob. Holding it in my hand. This is what the stuff that you, this is the stuff you want them to give you, people. You don't pay $60 and all you get is game. Oh, I got an extra gun in the game. No, how about you send me, I need 4 or 5 t-shirts. I need a jump drive shaped like Master Chief's head or something, or shaped like a frag grenade, something.
I don't even use jump drives all that much and I want this so bad.
Well, they're good for backup of stuff just to carry around with you. Kind of like, well, I don't know about guys, but for girls, it's kind of like, you know, I put that in my purse, lipstick if I need. I have business cards on there. I have a copy of a resume, pictures of ID and stuff like that in case, you know, I forgot to put it in my purse, or I need to make a copy for something. Those are things I put on a jump drive, just as a backup, because you can't always get your cell phone to work either, because I have them in cloud, but you should have it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in the future, if we get smart, we should give our cops a way to look at a jump drive. Do you have your ID? Well, no, I don't have my real copy, but I do have this one with the jump drive.
Yeah.
Would be nice.
God, that's so sexy. I wanted that. All right. Must look away. All right. White House finally responds to anti-CISPA petition. Yay. The White House has finally responded to a petition signed by over 100,000 people asking the administration to oppose the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. While the bill easily passed the House and the Senate has decided that it will not create a counterpart to the bill in this year's session, even though bill went on to pass the House of Representatives and includes some information improvements over previous versions, the legislation still doesn't adequately address our fundamental concerns, says Todd Park, U.S. Chief Technology Officer, and Michael Daniel, Cybersecurity Coordinator on the We the People website. Park and Daniel go on to say that CISPA needs three things before the White House could consider supporting it: a guarantee that information shared only relates to given cyber attack at hand, a provision that says a civilian agency will handle the data, the removal of broad immunity for businesses that act in ways likely to cause damage to third parties or result in the unwarranted disclosure of personal information. I think it should go a little bit further, but you know what? I will start with those three. So, pretty much the White House is saying we cannot back this at this time. So, hey, that's awesome.
And so we have to be vigilant,
yeah,
though.
Guys, if you message me on Facebook and you say, how you doing, I'm not answering you, okay?
Ooh, that is a grammar Nazi right there.
It's not that. It's one, I'm on air. And if you don't know this, you're not reading my Facebook post. So, you know, no, not talking to you.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
What you got?
Oh, I can't say.
You got something.
Okay. Nothing I can say on the air. Okay.
I agree, Jay. Some of those things are definitely suable things, yeah.
Well, man, I'm sorry. I understand where they're coming from. It just has to be done differently. It's too, as everybody keeps saying, it's too wide open to get into trouble, for people to get into trouble or use it to do evil things with. Okay, I'm not pleased about this next story, but I'll report it. Mm-hmm. All right. Cupcake Digital is kicking off the summer in style, they say, by collaborating with AG Properties, the intellectual property and outbound licensing division of the American Greetings Corporation, you know, those Hallmark people, to bring Berry Bitty City to life in a series of interactive mobile episodes based on the berry sweet world of Strawberry Shortcake. Parents will love sharing memories of this lovable character and her berry best friend. They have to do berry every time. They're her berry best friends with their kids. As I notice how they're not saying girls, because they don't want to say girls. But I don't know any little boys, even ones that, you know, that like cutesy pink stuff. They don't like Strawberry Shortcake either. No. As they introduce them to interactive stories filled with humor, friendship, teamwork, and optimism, the Strawberry Shortcake Deluxe apps will be available in the iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and Nook app stores. Why do these companies not go and work with VTech and all those, the people that create the consoles for the kids, which is where these should be? They should not, kids should not be playing with the consoles.
That would be, you know.
Oh, finally we get a girl comment.
Sure.
Susan Miller, who's the president of Cupcake Digital, said, so many little girls have grown up with Strawberry Shortcake since the 80s, and they have passed that love of her sweet world along to their own children. The enduring qualities of these characters are so timeless that we are pleased to be able to bring them this new medium. The recent animated series featuring the adventures of Strawberry and her friends has reached global proportions, and it makes perfect sense for us to bring her entertaining stories to life for young readers while also providing valuable learning moments. Parents will. You know what, Susan? This is not the age of Strawberry Cupcake. This is the age of Monster High. These little girls don't want them cute and pink. They like their dollies to be monsters and be able to do things like change into werewolves and things. I'm telling you, Baby Nation should throw this at me. And hell, I would have thrown this at me. I don't think my Strawberry Shortcake stayed looking like Strawberry Shortcake from the second I got her. I pulled that cap off and I blackened out the eyes. We had us a good old time. So this is, I get what they're trying to do. Trying to go the route of some kids do like, some little girls do like the cutesy pinky stuff. But I never did like strawberry shortcake. Have you seen her recently? She still looks the same.
I remember strawberry shortcake when I was like 2 or 3. I had the curtains and the bed stuff, but that was mainly from my mom.
Yep.
I wasn't. And I remember Rainbow Bright. I was not too much. There was only one Rainbow Bright thing that I ever liked. It was a movie. And I liked the boy. I can't remember what the boy's name was now.
I remember that movie, and I remember the boy, and I cannot remember his name either.
Yeah, they were in space or something, and
The rainbow went from the planet to the space, didn't they? Slide up it or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That.
I never liked that cutesy pinky stuff, and I think Monster High proves that the little girls are tired of the cutesy pinky bright colored stuff. You know what, Rainbow Strawberry Shortcake, you need to darken up a little bit. Why don't you dye your hair a darker shade of red, get rid of them green stripy pantyhose you got on.
Yes, totally. I don't know. To each their own, I guess, but that's not really my thing. Oh, wait, I'm not even sharing the screen. There we go.
She still looks the same.
She does.
They made her hair longer.
Remember, the only thing I liked about her, and I can still remember it, was that the strawberry smell.
Yeah, the dolly smell. Actually, I didn't like that either.
Oh, I love that. I didn't really like to play with her, but I like to just smell her.
I never, as a kid, liked those things that were supposed to smell like food because they never smell like food to me. Like, you remember those markers that, you know, you would color with and they're supposed to smell like strawberries or blueberries?
Those never smelled right. I didn't like those.
They made me sick. They made me so sick. Baby Matrix had a bunch of them, and I told her, you better put those things in your room and they better never see the light of day. I'm going to throw them.
I remember other kids playing with them. I was always like, I never really liked markers anyways. I liked the colored pencils. Those are always the best in my book.
Oh, yeah, when you had to do the maps. That's when you got to the fourth grade. Yes.
I wanted to play them beforehand. They're like, no, here's these big fat markers
the big fat crayons.
That run out of ink, like, you know, halfway through whatever you're doing. That always annoyed me.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right, so, moving on. Gamer files class action. Gamer files class action against Sega over aliens and colonial marines.
Really? Again?
Yeah. Damien Perrine has filed a lawsuit against Sega related to aliens, colonial marines, which he claims Sega represented falsely in its marketing as a far superior game than was delivered to consumers. He claims Sega engaged in a classic bait and switch with the game, and it also engaged in false advertising, breach of warranties, fraud in the inducement, negligent misrepresentation. I'm trying to like say these words and read ahead at the same time, and my mouth is just like, no. Committed consumer law violations. He is seeking to have the lawsuit verified as a class action and is sued on behalf of everyone in the United States who bought the game on or before February 12th of this year. In his lawsuit, Perrine claims that Sega promised consumers that they would receive a product with specific qualities and features, but then delivered something else entirely, to the tune of ill-gotten sales. He says that Sega and Gearbox falsely claimed that their marketing campaign showed actual gameplay, but the footage shown in ads in no way represented the retail product released by Sega on various platforms. Defendants never told anyone, consumers, industry critics, reviewers, or reporters that their actual gameplay demonstration advertising campaign bore little resemblance to the retail product that would eventually be sold to a large community of unwitting purchasers. Perrine claims that Sega and Gearbox used the actual gameplay demos at E3 and other trade shows up until its release in February this year. Defendant never suggested, either through the actual gameplay demonstrations, and they say actual with, you know, quotes, demonstrations themselves, interviews, or other media releases, that qualities and features of aliens, colonial marines, shown in these actual gameplay demonstrations were not representative of, and in fact were far superior to, the planned retail version of aliens, colonial marines, that would be sold to consumers. Yay! Alright, so, and it goes on and on and on, pretty much, just talking about how they're going to sue. He's not saying for how much or anything else, but I have to say,
go ahead.
One hand, I want to say this is just ridiculous, and I can't believe we're suing. On the other hand, EA and their new SimCity, I wouldn't be surprised if people sued. And you know what? Maybe they should. Maybe these game producers wouldn't put out games, the game developers, wouldn't put out games that were half made. Oh, my God, I want to cuss so bad, and I can't. Maybe they wouldn't release these games and say, oh, yeah, they're ready. society with so many bugs if they're afraid of being sued like this, if this goes through. So maybe this will be a lesson to other developers to fix your shit, sorry, before you send it out.
Sell it to me. Well, here's, I get the fix the thing, fix it. I think the issue here is if you don't like it, just take yours back. This is not a class action lawsuit kind of thing. Class action lawsuit is I bought a car, my seatbelt failed, and I hit my head on the dashboard because it ripped, you know, when it wasn't supposed to. That's class action lawsuit. You know, something that causes you some type of physical pain or financial anguish. You're set back $60, just take it back to the store, and if you make enough fuss, they're going to give you your money back or they're going to let you take something else home. But this is where it becomes ridiculous, because then we have one that was suing about religion.
Yes, and I think that was dumb. I think it was dumb. But on the other hand, I mean, you could take it back. Hopefully you can get your money back for it. But seriously, I am tired of these game companies putting out games that are not ready.
A lot of that's our fault. We accept it. They tell us to come in and beta test, and they shouldn't be doing that. I'm sorry. I know some of you are like, oh, I get to play early. I don't believe in letting players beta test a game because they just don't know
Pay a beta tester so that you actually get good feedback.
That's why the games are starting to suck. The more you start inviting players in, and I think the only companies that need to actually invite players in are games that make, you know, MMOs. You have to have, obviously you can't hire a whole army of beta testers. You can get a few in there and they can help you tweak it. But towards the end, maybe, yes, you do a closed beta with the players. But that should be like, we have tweaked everything we can. We've found everything we can possibly find wrong. Now we're just going to need to overload the servers and see if we can do with that. Then you invite them in. But nobody should be in playing, Shadowrun, which was a horrible idea to begin with, but we should never have been in Shadowrun 6 months in a closed beta, an alpha of a first-person shooter. You don't need them in there. You don't need people playing on the server doing that.
No.
They're not paying attention to anything that they're supposed to be doing. They're not noticing that, you know, something's misspelled or it's missing dialogue at this point or the texture's missing off the side of the van. They're just like, ooh, I'm in.
And all you're going to get is 6 months of people screaming, this game is unplayable.
Yeah, because they don't understand. It's not finished, so get the people in there that understand. Finish. Pay a beta tester. That's a whole
exactly
other thing you could do at home. You can have people that work at home to do. This is your job. You know, hell, EA alone, you could support a few people. Just hire them to work from anywhere. This is your job. You got to play this game for this many hours today, and you know, find some bugs. Some people would love to have that job.
Exactly. Oh my God, I'd do that job.
It's a whole bunch of people that would do that job. I get to play all day. I play the same game for several hours anyway. Might as well let me get in there.
See, that is the main thing, because I get into these betas, and they don't even tell me that they're betas. Oh, the game's just released. I get into it, and it's like, no, this is broken. Well, send us in your reports. No, I'm sorry. I just don't want to play your game, because you should have fixed this stuff beforehand.
Oh, it's a beta. Well, that's not what you said when you gave it to me.
And no kidding. You should have fixed it before.
We're going to get back there, people. We'll have another golden age of gaming. I just don't know when it's going to
get. Golden age of gaming.
Yes. Because that's what it was for a while there. We had such nice times. We had good games, and we were all loving upon each other. It was a gaming utopia. And then started messing up. It's sad. It's really sad.
Oh, no.
It's time for us to be gone. No, we're not here tomorrow morning. Do not get your panties all in a bunch. We'll be back tomorrow night. And we will see you then. Stay out of trouble. Of course, you can always drop by the site. News will go up. News will go on, whether we're on the air or not. The news will go on. You right there.
Yes. News will go on. It'll be great. Be okay. Just, you know, go out for lunch date tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, see, I'm sounding all dejected because I just realized I got to go into a beta here now. I'm not looking forward to that. Make me sad. What did I sign up for? Why did I do that? Speaking of which, what is going on? How come I can't get into Salem? Is anybody else having that problem?
I don't know. I was in it the other day.
Were you able to get every time I do it, it just crashes?
Have you updated your Java?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the issue.
Maybe I'm dead.
Verifying application. Downloading application. Starting application. Oh, wait. It's sitting there.
See, that's what it does for me, and then it says,
wait.
Cannot load application.
Moving. No. Downloading. Slowly. us still moving. Tick by tick.
All right, we'll continue the song.